Welcome. You're listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. I'm Ron Fraser. Today we're going to listen to a pre-recorded talk by Joel Smith talking about the prophecies of Joseph Smith that point to Baha'u'llah. Here's Joel's talk.
The Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has its origins in the visions of Joseph Smith, a religious teacher sensitive to the spiritual currents flowing in the early 19th century. A beginning in 1820, Joseph Smith claimed to have experienced a series of heavenly visions in which he was informed that all existing religions were in error, that the true gospel had been lost, and that he was being given the task of preparing people to recognize the imminent coming of the Son of Man, the return of the Christ. The purpose of the teachings of Joseph Smith is to prepare people to recognize the imminent coming of the Son of Man. Joseph Smith's visions and prophecies are recorded in a book titled The Doctrine and Covenants. This book contains prophecies which explicitly foretell the coming of two messianic figures who were to appear in rapid succession, one right after the other. The first of these two messianic figures is called One Mighty and Strong, and is considered to be a forerunner like John the Baptist. The second of the two messianic figures is called the Son of Man. Now, for the sake of brevity in this presentation, I would like to focus on only two of Joseph Smith's prophecies from the Doctrine and Covenants. Now, section 85 says, "And it shall come to pass that I, the Lord God, shall send one mighty and strong, holding the scepter of power in his hand, clothed with a light for a covering, whose mouth shall utter words, eternal words, while his bowels shall be a fountain of truth, to set in order the house of God. While that man, who is called of God and appointed, that putteth forth his hand to steady the ark of God, shall fall by the shaft of death, like as a tree that is smitten by a vivid shaft of lightning." Now, section 85 contains two significant prophecies. The first is the death of Joseph Smith himself. Section 85 says, "The man who is called of God and appointed that putteth forth his hand to steady the ark of God." This was Joseph Smith. Now, as prophesied in this passage, Joseph Smith actually did fall by the shaft of death as a tree that is smitten by a vivid shaft of lightning. Joseph Smith was shot and killed on June 27, 1844. Now, the second half of this prophecy infers that when Joseph Smith is shot, the One Mighty and Strong will appear. Once again, Joseph Smith was shot in 1844. The prophecies of Joseph Smith foretell the coming of an Elijah figure, a forerunner like John the Baptist. In other words, this prophecy predicts that a forerunner will appear in the year 1844. Now, the second prophecy from the Doctrine and Covenants that I'm going to examine is the one from section 130. This prophecy reads, "When a Savior shall appear, we shall see him as he is. We shall see that he is a man like ourselves. And a white stone is given to each of those who come into the celestial kingdom. Thereon is a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it." The new name is the key word. "I prophesy in the name of the Lord God that the commencement of the difficulties which will cause much bloodshed previous to the coming of the Son of Man will be in South Carolina. It may probably arise through the slave question. This is a voice declared to me while I was praying earnestly on the subject. I was once praying very earnestly to know the time of the coming of the Son of Man when I heard a voice repeat the following, 'Joseph, my son, if thou livest until thou art 85 years old, thou shalt see the face of the Son of Man. Therefore, let this suffice, and trouble me no more on this matter. The Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man. The Son also, but the Holy Ghost has not a body of flesh and bones, but is a personage of spirit.'" This is Doctrine and Covenants 130. Now, section 130 contains several significant prophecies. First of all was the Civil War, the American Civil War. Joseph Smith said, "I prophesy in the name of the Lord God the commencement of the difficulties which will cause much bloodshed previous to the coming of the Son of Man will be in South Carolina. and may probably arise through the slave question. On December 25, 1832, Joseph Smith first prophesied that the American Civil War, which was fought over the slave question, will begin in South Carolina. Now, the Civil War began in South Carolina in the year 1860. The slave question was crystallized in 1863 when President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation freeing the slaves. Now notice that Joseph Smith foretold these events over 30 years before they happened. And this is not even the most important part of this prophecy. Joseph Smith was just setting the stage for what could be one of the most significant events in human history. Joseph Smith predicted that the coming of the Son of Man would become a reality shortly after the beginning of the American Civil War. The next prophecy in section 130 by Joseph Smith says that the Savior shall be a man like ourselves. Joseph Smith said, "When the Savior shall appear, we shall see him as he is. We shall see that he is a man like ourselves." Unquote. Now the Savior, the Son of Man, will have a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's. This prophecy is self-evident. The Son of Man shall appear in exactly the same way that all of the other prophets or manifestations of God have appeared throughout history. He will not appear as some unidentifiable, intangible spirit. We shall see him as he is. We shall see that he is a man like ourselves. Now, only three sections later, Joseph Smith also prophesies, "And the Lord, even the Savior, shall stand in the midst of his people, and shall reign over all flesh. And it shall be said, Who is that cometh down from God in heaven with dyed garments? And the Lord will be red in his apparel, and his garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat. So great shall be the glory of his presence, that the sun shall hide his face in shame." This is from Doctrine and Covenants, section 133. So, to summarize, we shall see that he is a man like ourselves. The Son of Man will have a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man. The Son of Man will appear in exactly the same way that all of the other prophets or manifestations of God have appeared throughout history. He will not appear as some unidentifiable, intangible spirit. The Savior will stand in the midst of his people, and these passages even identify the color of his clothes when he appears. The Lord will be red in his apparel. They even give us a clue as to what his new name might be. So great shall be the glory of his presence. The glory of his presence. In the next section of his prophecy, Joseph Smith speaks of those who choose to come into the celestial kingdom. And he said that they will be given a white stone. Thereon is a new name written. Evidently, not everyone will choose to come into the celestial kingdom. Either that, or perhaps what this passage is saying is that not everyone will recognize the coming of the Son of Man with a new name, and thereby, because of their lack of understanding, will deprive themselves of the opportunity to enter the Son of Man's celestial kingdom. Those who do enter the celestial kingdom will be given a new name. Joseph Smith's new name prophecy is reminiscent of similar statements made in Isaiah and in the book of Revelation. In the second chapter of the book of Revelation, Jesus repeats the, quote, white stone with the new name, unquote, prophecy. Jesus promised, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, He that receiveth it." This is Revelation 2:17. "To him that overcometh, I will give him a white stone, and in the white stone a new name written." In the next chapter of the book of Revelation, Jesus again promises, quote, "Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name." Revelation 3:12. "He that overcometh," Jesus says, "I will write upon him my new name." The Son of Man, when he comes, will have a new name. Towards the end of his book, the prophet Isaiah repeats this promise. In Isaiah 62, it says, quote, "Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." And a little bit later in chapter 65, Isaiah says, "Thou shalt leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name." His servants will be called by another name. Those who choose to come into the celestial kingdom will be given a new name. Now, Joseph Smith wrote that he, quote, "He was once praying very earnestly to know the time of the coming of the Son of Man, when I heard a voice repeat the following, 'Joseph, my son, if thou livest until thou art 85 years old, thou shalt see the face of the Son of Man,'" unquote. Now, Joseph Smith was born in Sharon, Vermont, on December 23, 1805. He would have been 85 years old in 1890. If he had not been killed, Joseph Smith would have met the Son of Man in the year 1890, according to this prophecy. Now, could it be that the Son of Man was actually already alive on the planet at the very time that Joseph Smith was giving these prophecies? Consider these statements from Joseph Smith. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 38, Joseph Smith says, quote, "Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you that mine eyes are upon you. I am in your midst, and ye cannot see me. But the day soon cometh that ye shall see me, and know that I am, for the veil of darkness shall soon be rent. Wherefore, gird up your loins and be prepared." Doctrine and Covenants, section 38. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 50, it says, quote, "I am in your midst, and the day cometh that you shall hear my voice, and see me, and know that I am. Watch, therefore, that ye may be ready." Doctrine and Covenants 50:44. In Doctrine and Covenants 45, Joseph Smith wrote, quote, "For verily I say unto you that I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the light and life of the world, a light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And when the times of the Gentiles is come in, as light shall break forth among them that sit in darkness, and it shall be the fullness of my gospel, but they receive it not, for they perceive not the light, and they shall turn their hearts from me, because of the precepts of men." Doctrine and Covenants 45. Now, to summarize, according to Joseph Smith's prophecies, the forerunner, the one mighty and strong, should have appeared in 1844. The Son of Man, the Savior, should have appeared shortly after the beginning of the American Civil War in 1860. But Joseph Smith advises his followers to be awake and searching. He warns that the coming of the Son of Man will be like a light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. He hints that the Savior is in your midst, and ye cannot see me. They receive him not, for they perceive not the light, and they turn their hearts from me because of the precepts of men. And then, even more explicitly, Joseph Smith has promised that if he lives until the year 1890, he will meet the Son of Man. Joseph Smith's One Mighty and Strong prophecy is amazingly accurate. The Elijah figure did arise in the East in the same year that Joseph Smith was shot. In 1844, the One Mighty and Strong arose in the East. He assumed the title of the Bab, a name which, when translated into English, means the gate. The Bab stated that he was the forerunner of the great Son of Man, whom he said was soon to appear. The Bab wrote, quote, "I am one of the sustaining pillars of the primal Word of God. Whosoever hath recognized me hath attained all that is good and seemly. Well is it with him who fixeth his gaze upon the order of Baha'u'llah, the Son of Man, and rendereth thanks unto his Lord, for he will assuredly be made manifest. God hath indeed irrevocably ordained it." This is in the book God Passes By, page 25. Joseph Smith foretold the coming of the Bab, the forerunner of the Baha'i faith, with amazing accuracy. He also foretold the time of the coming of Baha'u'llah, the Baha'i founder, with equal precision. Joseph Smith promised, quote, I prophesy in the name of the Lord God, the commencement of the difficulties which will cause much blood shed previous to the coming of the Son of Man will be in South Carolina. It may probably arise through the slave question, unquote. Now, the American Civil War began in South Carolina in 1860, but it was not until 1863 that Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, freeing the slaves and crystallizing the slave question. It was also in 1863 that the Son of Man actually did appear. It was on April 21, 1863, that Baha'u'llah, the prophet founder of the Baha'i faith, first publicly announced to the world that he was the Promised One, whose coming had been foretold in the prophecies of the world's great religions. Thus, Baha'u'llah announced his mission to the world at the exact time foretold by Joseph Smith. Baha'u'llah wrote, quote, The time foreordained unto the peoples and kindreds of the earth is now come. Promises of God, as recorded in the Holy Scriptures, have all been fulfilled. The revelation which, from time immemorial, hath been acclaimed as the purpose and promise of all the prophets of God, and the most cherished desire of his messengers, hath now, by virtue of the pervasive will of the Almighty, and at his irresistible bidding, been revealed unto men. The advent of such a revelation hath been heralded in all the sacred scriptures. Behold how, notwithstanding such an announcement, mankind has strayed from its path and shut out itself from its glory. This is from the Baha'i World Faith, page 9. Baha'u'llah's forerunner appeared at the exact time foretold by Joseph Smith. Baha'u'llah himself also appeared at the exact time foretold by Joseph Smith. Baha'u'llah did come bearing a new name, as foretold by Joseph Smith. The name Baha'u'llah, when translated into English, is the glory of God. Baha'u'llah did appear wearing a red robe. Baha'u'llah did bring the celestial kingdom, as foretold by Joseph Smith. Yet most of the world remained heedless of his appearance. Joseph Smith warned that recognition of the coming of the Son of Man might not be as easy as many people thought. He said that the Savior is, quote, in your midst, and you cannot see him, unquote. Baha'u'llah, the Promised One, the Savior, the Son of Man, appeared at the exact time foretold by Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith advised his followers to be awake and searching. He said that the coming of the Son of Man would be like a light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Baha'u'llah commented upon the people's tragic lack of comprehension. He wrote, quote, Notwithstanding such an announcement, mankind has strayed from its path and shut out itself from its glory, unquote. Now, tragically today, almost 150 years later, Joseph Smith's followers still, quote, perceive not the light, and they turn their hearts from him because of the precepts of men, unquote. Now, the other half of the prophecy from section 130 of the Doctrine and Covenants promised that Joseph Smith would, quote, see the face of the Son of Man, unquote, if he lived to be 85 years old. In a remarkable passage, Baha'u'llah seems to answer this promise. Baha'u'llah wrote, quote, Verily I say, this is the day in which mankind can behold the face and hear the voice of the Promised One. The call of God hath been raised, and the light of his countenance hath been lifted up upon men. It behooveth every man to blot out the trace of every idle word from the tablet of his heart, and to gaze with an open and unbiased mind on the signs of his revelation, the proofs of his mission, and the tokens of his glory. Unquote. Joseph Smith was promised that he would see the face of the Son of Man if he lived to be 85 years old. Joseph Smith would have been 85 years old in the year 1890. It was in the year 1890 that the first people from Europe and America journeyed all the way to Israel to meet Baha'u'llah. Of these Western pilgrims, only the distinguished Orientalist Professor E.G. Brown of the University of Cambridge in England actually met him. Dr. Brown visited Baha'u'llah in the year 1890 and recorded his impressions as follows. Quote, this is the quote from Professor Brown. The face on whom I gazed, I can never forget. although I cannot describe it. Those piercing eyes seemed to read one's very soul. Power and authority sat on that ample brow, while the deep lines in the forehead and face implied an age with which the jet-black hair and beard flowing down in indistinguishable luxuriance, almost to the waist, seemed to belie. No need to ask in whose presence I stood, as I bowed myself before one who is the object of a devotion and love which kings might envy and emperors sigh for in vain. A mild, dignified voice bade me be seated, and then continued. Baha'u'llah said, "Praise be to God that thou hast attained. Thou hast come to see a prisoner and an exile. We desire but the good of the world and the happiness of the nations. Yet they deem us a stirrer up of strife and sedition, worthy of bondage and banishment. That all nations should become one in faith, and all men as brothers. That the bonds of affection should cease, and the differences of race be annulled. What harm is there in this? Yet so it shall be. These fruitless strifes, these ruinous wars shall pass away, and the most great peace shall come. Do not you in Europe need this also? Is not this that which Christ foretold? Yet do we see your kings and rulers lavishing their treasures more freely on the means for the destruction of the human race than on that which would conduce to the happiness of mankind. These strifes and this bloodshed and discord must cease, and all men be as one kindred and one family. Let not a man glory in this, that he loves his country. Let him rather glory in this, that he loves his kind." Unquote. This is from Baha'u'llah in the New Era, page 39 and 40. If Joseph Smith had lived to be 85 years old, would he have been on that steamship that traveled to Israel in 1890? Would he have been alongside Professor Brown as he met Baha'u'llah? Would Joseph Smith have seen the face of the Son of Man when he was 85 years old? Unfortunately, we will never know for certain. Now, the question that has been raised in this brief presentation is this: are the Bab and Baha'u'llah truly the ones whose coming were foretold in the Mormon prophecies? The Bab and Baha'u'llah literally fulfilled dozens of prophecies from the scriptures of each of the world's great religions. Baha'u'llah's teachings have already inspired the birth and development of a unified global community of believers. Now, what do you suppose are the chances that so many explicit prophecies from the diverse religions of the world could foretell the exact same things in almost the exact same words as the Mormon prophecies, and yet still be just a coincidence? How probable do you think it is that the Bab and Baha'u'llah could literally fulfill each and every one of these prophecies and yet still be false? It's not very likely. The prophecies of Joseph Smith foretold the coming of both the Son of Man and of his celestial kingdom. Is Baha'u'llah truly the Son of Man whose appearance was foretold by Joseph Smith? Is the name Baha'u'llah the new name foretold by Joseph Smith? Is Baha'u'llah's kingdom truly the celestial kingdom foretold by Joseph Smith? These are questions of extreme importance. Those who seek the truth in this matter may want to consider the following statements from Baha'u'llah. Quote, "We of a certainty have had no purpose in this earthly realm save to make God manifest and to reveal his sovereignty. Sufficient unto me is God for a witness. We of a certainty have had no intent in the celestial kingdom but to exalt his cause and glorify his praise. Sufficient unto me is God for a protector. We of a certainty have had no desire in the dominion on high except to extol God and what hath been sent down by him." This is from the Kitab-i Aqdas, page 82. To close this presentation, I would like to read a passage from Baha'u'llah, who wrote, quote, "Great is the cause, and great the announcement. Patiently and calmly ponder thou upon the resplendent signs and the sublime words and all that hath been revealed in these days, that haply thou mayest fathom the mysteries that are hid in the books and mayest strive to guide his servants. Hearken with thine inner ear to the voice of Jeremiah, who saith, O, for great is that day, and it hath no equal. Wert thou to observe with the eye of fairness, thou wouldst perceive the greatness of the day. Incline thine ear unto the voice of this all-knowing counselor, and suffer not thyself to be deprived of the mercy that hath surpassed all created things, visible and invisible. Baha'u'llah, an Epistle to the Son of the Wolf, page 144. Thank you for listening. I invite you to know more. Latter-day Saints who would like to hear more of this story may want to read the book So Great a Cause by Kenneth Stevens. Kenneth Stevens is a former Mormon and Institute director. This book is currently out of print, but your local librarian should be able to find you a copy through interlibrary loan.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that recorded talk by Joel Smith. I really appreciate Joel sharing that sound file with us. I'm just about out of ideas on what to do with this series of podcasts, so I'm going to take a little break, hopefully for just a few days, and I'll wait for some emails from you folks to let me know what kind of ideas would be important to you. I'd especially like to hear from our Christian listeners that have questions. I hope you'll send in some hard questions. I really do. And remember, you're welcome to join us at any time. You've been listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. If you'd like to learn more about the Baha'i faith, look on the internet. The international site is baha'i.org. You'll find information about the faith, and there's also links to the Baha'i communities in several dozen countries around the world. Or, in the U.S., go to baha'i.us. Remember that Baha'i is B-A-H-A-I. In Florida, our website is Emerald Coast Baha'is, that's with an S at the end, .org. EmeraldCoastBaha'is.org. Our phone numbers to talk to a human, call 1-800-22-UNITE, or in Florida, call 850-543-2129. To leave us a voicemail, toll-free, call 866-590-4545. And please let us know if we can use your message on the air in one of our podcasts. You can also email us at panhandlebaha'is@aol.com. Thanks for listening.